through the dead of night, seeking out broadcasting injustice wherever it appears. Only one man can wield it. Media Bat with Tim Bat, only on 95 BFM.
Morena, Tim, how are you?
Morena, good thanks, how are you doing?
Good, nice to be back. You and I both had a week off, how's it going?
Yeah, we did, and then we saw ourselves IRL.
Yes, we did, we saw each other at the Central Flea Market.
A crazy thing, well I was still sort of, I was on the up and up because I'd left the house, but I had hand, foot and mouth disease.
Oh, it was medieval, I think was the term you used. Yeah, it's wild.
It was crazy. Well, I got told that it was like borderline impossible for adults to get, but lo and behold, I figured it out.
It's because you're young at heart, that's why.
I like that, I'll go with that.
What has been happening in the media while we've all been away with illnesses?
Well, I want to do like a little bit of a catch-up ep on the TVNZ-RNZ merger. But before we do that, here's kind of a smaller story about Radio New Zealand. And this just, I can't believe how dumb this is. Radio New Zealand had a so-called sonic refresh. They got some new bumper music to introduce some of their shows and the news. You know, frequent listeners will have heard the change on air, which I think came into effect from Monday this week. And this made the news primarily because the $43,000 contract to do the new sounds and music did not go to a New Zealand outfit. It was awarded to a company called Songzoo, which is based in Australia and Singapore, which is just seems like the dumbest own goal to me that Radio New Zealand could do. Like, how do you not anticipate headlines from making a move like this? John McKay, who's the a founding member of the Screen Music and Sound Guild, called it outrageous to even consider going offshore and highlighted the struggles that local composers have to make a living in this country.
Yeah, hard out.
And pointed out that this news came out during New Zealand Music Month, just to add sort of insult to injury. Ree and Sheehan said that RNZ's decision was, quote, a wasted opportunity. And even David frickin' Seymour described Radio New Zealand's decision as, quote, incredibly short-sighted. The communications manager, John Barr from RNZ, said that they considered local options but went with Songzoo as it had recently completed work with a public broadcaster. For me, this is just one of those things where, like, this is not a massive contract. You know, $43,000 in the scheme of things, not a big amount of money for a public entity to be spending on stuff. But just, to me, anyway, it seems like such stupid decision-making to not anticipate that this was going to be a problem later down the track.
Yeah, totally.
By not going with the New Zealand outfit. But
oh,
anyway.
Oh, God. Well, so this is an interesting one, though.
It is. It's sort of one of those ones that ultimately probably won't amount to anything, but all it does is it just leaves such a sour taste in the mouth of all of these people in New Zealand, these artists, these composers, these musicians who are like struggling to get by.
Absolutely.
And then when they see this work from our state, you know, radio broadcaster being sent offshore, that is not a good feeling.
No, indeed.
Speaking of RNZ, onto some slightly meatier issues. So this is kind of just a bit of a catch up because I was away sick last week, but some more details are firming up about the TVNZ-RNZ merger. The tentative name at the moment is the Aotearoa New Zealand Public Media Entity. Draft legislation was published ahead of being introduced into Parliament, and it's going to take effect from the 1st of March 2023. It's going to be an autonomous Crown entity, which is a structure that has drawn a lot of commentary, including some criticism. Melissa Lee is National's broadcasting spokesperson, and she said that she's basically criticised going with that structure because it will be able to be influenced by the government of the day too much. I don't think there's really like enough structural detail on how this organisation will work to say one way or the other, but it is, you know, definitely something that needs serious consideration. The legislation's actually going to have some protections around editorial built into it, mm-hmm. but obviously the government is going to be making decisions about who's on the board and that sort of thing. So speaking of, there will be a brand new board for this entity. I'll just go through some of the details that we know from the legislation so far. So the purpose will be to provide news and entertainment as a public service. Editorial and operational independence will be protected, apparently, by legislation. It will have a focus on underserved communities, particularly Māori, Pacific and young people. And it's going to be combination funded both by taxpayers from the state and ad revenue as well. Which is, that has been one area that's made a lot of people nervous, particularly long-time RNZ listeners. What they have said is that media products that currently exist will not get ads added to them.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, so basically, yeah, the stuff that's ad-free right now, they have said at this stage, will be protected.
Yeah, okay.
There's also this kind of idea that has been floated of a premium subscription model somewhere down the track, paying for content, and it's definitely not ruled out in the legislation. The legislation says content must remain predominantly free of charge. So what the sort of commentators have read from that at this stage is that later down the track, there's no immediate plans to do this whatsoever. No one's talking about doing this immediately for this new entity, but there could be some pay-for-content models that are put into place, and then you kind of get access to stuff first, and then it will be released for free later on.
Right. Well, that's going to be an interesting thing to follow for sure.
Yeah, that little element of it, I mean, I don't think anything's going to happen in the first few years with that. I think they just want to shore up the operation of it and figure out how all of these TVNZ and RNZ people are going to interact and make stuff together. The kind of the most interesting thing about this for me, I've been listening to a bunch of interviews with Willie Jackson because he is the new broadcasting minister. He's also the minister for Māori development. And it seems to me, based on everything that he's been saying in his interviews, if Labour managed to get in again, if they managed to form the next government and he's still at the helm on both of those positions, he holds that portfolio, there's going to be like a really massive Māori focus for this new entity, which personally I think is really cool.
Yeah, awesome and overdue, you know?
Yeah, I think so. And it's something that, you know, Willie Jackson has rubbed a lot of people up the wrong way over the years, and he's a bit of a loose unit, and he's certainly had his battles in the media, like on all ends of it. He's been a broadcaster for a long time, and he's run afoul of the BSA, and he's been, I don't know if he's been fired, but he's had sort of disciplinary action. All sorts of things have happened across his many, many years of this very storied career. But he has always been an incredibly steadfast fighter for developing Māori broadcasters, Māori content, and bringing it into the mainstream. And that is something that he has made very clear is going to be a priority for him with this new media entity. So I think that's quite an exciting thing. It will make some people quite nervous, I imagine. And one way that this is immediately manifest is that two members of the board, and this is in legislation, will need to have good knowledge of Te Ao Māori and Tikanga, and they'll be appointed in consultation with the Minister for Māori Development going forward. So,
well, that sounds really interesting. I feel like, you know, that is a really cool positive thing that could come out of all of these changes, because it has been... I think I heard an interview with Willie Jackson where he was saying it's been something that perhaps the national broadcasters have lacked in that mainstream space, is a particular Māori worldview in focus, you know, not given a, you know, single show, given a particularly non-prolific time slot, but actually having that be a central part of the worldview of the station is really interesting.
Absolutely right. And weirdly, they're actually, at certain times, like in the early 90s, there was actually more of it in the mainstream.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's an interesting situation.
For sure. Country calendar as well. Off. Tell us about this. Everyone's so, ringtone.
I'll just briefly mention this one. There's been a really kind of funny blow up. Funny for me, I'm a townie, so I don't really have much skin in the game with this one. But there was an episode that recently went to air of Country Calendar, and the regular viewers absolutely hated it. They are ropeable. Country Calendar went and visited this farm, which is in Lake Hawera, which has been purchased by one of the co-founders, 42 Below Vodka. And they've essentially bought a small farm, and they're doing all sorts of quite interesting things. Some of it's quite out there. They're playing like classical music to the sheep in the shearing shed in an effort to keep them calm, but they're also doing like a lot of serious stuff as well. They've got huge regenerative farming practices that they've established, and they've actually got themselves certified as Australasia's first carbon zero farm.
Wow.
So there was sort of a combination of all the kind of wacky stuff and this new sort of sustainable, environmentally minded practices that they're trying to initiate, and it has led the regular watching folk, by and large, of Country Calendar to take to Facebook and declare that Country Calendar has fallen to wokeism as the latest victim.
Victim in the wokeism campaign.
Yeah, absolutely. So the agenda is winning by townies.
Well, that is one to go maybe check out, I reckon, yeah, latest episode of Country Calendar.
The spin-off's got a good write-up about it, and also if you want to kill some time, if you're bored, if you're avoiding work today, maybe just jump on Country Calendar's Facebook page, have a read of the comments. Pretty good.
Fantastic, thank you very much for that one this morning, Tim. Have a wonderful day, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Bye bye.
Come back next week for another exciting adventure on Media Bat, only on 95 BFM.